Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapin of the International Forecaster. Bob, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
It is absolutely my pleasure, and I almost didn't make it because one of our listeners, I told him, we're both going to miss the show if we don't get off the line.
All right, fine. Well, I'm glad that you did, and certainly because we'd be sort of lost without you hearing. I think there's so many important things going on in the world today, and of course, as I read the International Forecaster, it's very obvious that the economy of the entire world is beginning to contract. It's not just here in the United States, but certainly our unemployment is up, our inflation is up. Our businesses, many of them are really losing orders at lower production levels. And, of course, even when the government talks about, of course, the gross national product going up, what they fail to mention is, of course, it's going up very little in relationship to inflation. And because of inflation, it's actually falling off. So I'm going to let you pick up that story and develop your view of what's happening financially in America and throughout the world today.
Well, I think one of your comments about it spreading throughout the world is finally coming to fruition. Just, and you've noticed this in the European section and the England section of the International Forecaster, and that is, in the last 6 months, England has particularly started to come unglued. But in Europe, it's only been 3 months, and it's like they were shot out of a cannon. Everything just seemed to stop. I mean, the export orders, the domestic production, the domestic spending, the sale of automobiles in almost every country, I would say, I'm guessing, on average is probably off around 13-14%. And for the most part, this happened over the last few months. Now, some of these countries have had sense enough to raise their interest rates. England did once, and so didn't the European Central Bank. But they're kind of in a cage because they can't really act unilaterally, because if they raise interest rates, it's going to put more pressure on the dollar, and it's going to make their currency stronger. But on the other hand, they're entrapped with the U.S. in this credit crisis syndrome. And so what's happened is the Wall Street and the U.S. government and the U.S. banking establishment have really bagged the world with this credit crisis, which emanated first recently with the dot-com boom and the collapse of the stock market. And that was followed by now the collapse in the real estate market, which is really far worse, because it affects everybody, because 69% of people owned homes in America, and it's 67% now.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Go right ahead, Bob.
And
Basically, what you were saying is what's happening to the housing market. That many of the people own their own homes, but the value of those homes is falling. And so we see this contraction of liquidity or potential liquidity that has really been increased dramatically as a result of course, the loan fiasco. And now, of course, the whole housing market is beginning to collapse. And, of course, along with that, we're cutting back on so many developments. The commercial developments are coming off. Condominium developments are falling. And the housing industry, the financial industry, is really having a very difficult time. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Yes, it is. And you know, the lenders and others, pensions, hedge funds, et cetera, even municipalities, are holding all of this bad paper. And it aggregates just on these CDOs and the SIVs, which are bonds made up of mortgages. They're holding, the estimate is about $3.7 trillion. And they pay par for the paper, which is $1,000 a bond. And the haircut right now, Merrill Lynch just, and just to show you what a sham this is and what flim-flam it is, Merrill Lynch got rid of about $5 billion of this toxic paper. And they sold it to a private equity company. And they lent 75% of the purchase price to the private equity company just so they could get it off the books. And the private equity company put in $1.7 billion. And what it amounts to is the bonds that they sold, which were these real estate syndication bonds, you can call them that, are worth 6 cents on the dollar. And then the National Bank of Australia dumped theirs for 10 cents on the dollar. Well, what's going to happen when the other $3.7 trillion has to be written off? I'm just going to take the whole system down. And we're just talking about that one problem. You have asset-backed securities, which are loans that went out for credit card bundles, credit cards bundled together, and pools and mobile homes and motorcycles and all those things, things that a lot of people couldn't afford. They're all coming back to haunt them. In fact, that's why I put out a short on Harley-Davidson at 58.
I think hold that thought right there. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob is just talking about how the whole housing market is just beginning to implode, and certainly there are going to be defaults on so many of the subprime loans, and then the Alt-A loans, and then as the value of property on the market begins to fall, even many of the people who have AAA loans will find out that they're underwater. In other words, that they actually have a loan that's for far more than the value of their home once they bought fairly close to the high point. And they, even the people with the best of loans, many of them are going to walk away from their loans. So we're talking about the loss of literally trillions of dollars of debt. And then, of course, we've got all the other loans, the automobile loans and the recreational vehicle loans and the student loans and so many loans out there that are non-performing as they're going to go belly up. And with that, of course, going to be a destruction of so much of the liquidity that we think is giving us prosperity but never really existed at all. So you pick up the story there, Bob.
Well, then we got to jump over to the municipal bond insurers who are all but bankrupt. And they gave the municipal bonds their ratings, which are higher than what they would have normally got. And so the municipal bonds are selling at a big discount. And then you have another market, which was a market that was guaranteed in municipals as well. We're talking close to $4 trillion in that market that's been frozen. And they were presented as good as a treasury, and of course rated AAA for the most part, and now they're coming home to roost.
And of course, really, what's happened?
That market's frozen.
Well, really, what's happened is that these insurance companies have guaranteed that the bonds would pay, but the trouble is that the insurance companies that made the guarantee don't have the money to back it up.
Yeah, and they never did. It's the same thing with Fannie and Freddie. There's virtually nothing there. It's a point. 0.62%, which is 0.625%. I mean, that's their backing on $5.2 trillion worth of mortgages. I mean, it's incredible. It's all a Ponzi scheme, the whole thing. And I can guarantee you this, within 5 years it'll all collapse. It might happen much quicker.
But
yes, I think a good guess is 2 to 3 years.
But of course, if Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were to default, then the American taxpayer would be on the line for $3 or $4 trillion. This would be the problem.
Well, I'm projecting, and I projected this 4 years ago, $2 to $3 trillion in losses.
Right.
And then you've got the people who are getting thrown out of their homes, and then you have we had about 250 mortgage companies go bankrupt in the last year and a half, and I would say at least 50% of the banks in America are insolvent. And the only reason this system has not already collapsed is that the Federal Reserve is creating approximately $500 billion a month to keep these financial institutions afloat.
You're talking about almost $500 billion then.
In a monthly rollover.
Right, right.
And then they're gonna extend the time. The European Central Bank is doing the same thing for the same amount of money. And they're letting them go out now 90 days. But they were talking in terms, if the borrower wants, it'll take them out 3 years. So what they're doing is obscuring the fact that the system has broken down. And it's going to get to them. And we're all going to suffer terribly. And that's why, you know, Stan, I've been on your program for 10 years. Get rid of debt, credit card debt, revolving debt. Pay off your vehicles because maybe next year one of you won't be working. And, you know, get your insurance in. Food in the home, dehydrated, freeze-dried, otherwise, a way to filter your water, a way to defend your family. These are important things. And the further we go on in time here with these terrible financial and economic problems, the more terse the situation is going to get. And I implore you people to do that. And a lot of people have, because they've been listening to Stan and other programs like this, and we've really helped them enormously. And we're happy to say that we've been fortunate enough to do that. And so that's what you should be doing.
Well, I think that these are very, very dangerous financial times. And certainly, as you see what's happening, it's not just an American phenomenon. It's a worldwide phenomenon. All of the currencies of the world are fiat money currencies. And throughout all history, it's been tried time and time again, whether it be ancient Greece, ancient Rome, in Florence, in Italy, you know, during the between 1300 and 1600, they tried this sort of a system. Never has it been as expansive as it is today, but of course, what's really happened is America is totally subservient to other countries throughout the world. We may be the most powerful nation militarily, but, you know, certainly China and Russia and some of our former communist enemies, you know, have the money and the financial ability to simply implode our financial institutions and our financial stability if they saw fit to do that.
Well, it's going to affect the whole world. And, you know, it wasn't 6 months to a year ago that everybody was thumbing their nose at us. And now they finally realize they've got bagged too. I mean, these bankers get around. I mean, you know, like you take Argentina that reneged on its debt in 2000. They still have about $20 billion they haven't sorted out yet. And they're in the soup again. Inflation's about 25%. And so you have people who sometimes simply can't govern themselves. And I know it's tragic, but it's true. And they're all going to be affected by the falling of the American economy. And we're the biggest market in the world, we have been. I think that's going to change. But we're going to take the whole world financially down with us.
And, of course, the implications, you know, of what's happening, because once you destroy the essence of a monetary system, you destroy the nation. And, of course, every other nation in the world is tied to the United States. Well, it's almost like we're looking at the possibility down the line, a year or two, of really worldwide chaos, because, of course, when the infrastructure, the financial infrastructure of a nation implodes, it always, almost always leads to political instability, doesn't it, Bob?
Right, and it's going to affect everybody. Nobody's going to escape. I don't care how much money they've got. I mean, Russia is rolling in money, and so isn't China. And although China's got a $1.3 trillion banking problem, but that's peanuts compared to the U.S. And Japan might have a large amount of foreign reserves, say some $700 billion or $800 billion, but they've got horrendous debt. And I will say they cleaned their banking system up, but it took them 16 years to do it, and they never came out of depression. And they're back in it right now. In fact, there was an announcement today saying we're back in recession. Well, that's a code word in Japan for depression. And, you know, the world is got problems.
Well, of course, America is moving into a recession, and some people feel that the next step will not be recovery but a depression. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it'll be depression. You know, I just got off the phone with one of your listeners who loves your program. And he's been in real estate. And he's just really starting to study the things that we talk about. And he's fascinated by it because he's, you know, never heard about it before. And he's close to our age. And, you know, he's been a real estate developer for the last 35, 40 years. And I said, you better find yourself a new profession because I expect that it'll take 5 years to reach bottom here. And when we do, I don't know how long we're going to bump along the bottom. It could be 5 years, or it could be 20. And the opportunity to make money in investments is going to be limited because I believe the stock market is going to take a terrible licking. And I think interest rates are going to go higher because of the problems that are engendered in all these economies. They'll come back down again, but they'll go up first. And
well, if they're going to have to go up, if they're going to preserve the dollar, either that or just write off the dollar and write everything off that is tied to the dollar, like in the value of insurance, the value of pensions, the value of annuities, anything tied to the dollar, certainly CDs, money market funds, bank deposits, checking deposits, you know, to destroy the value of the dollar, and they're doing it now at least 12% a year through inflation. I mean, that keeps up very long, and you destroyed the value of the life savings of so many people, and they never even realized what happened.
Well, I've been telling people to get their money out of banks, just keep enough there that what you need to function, and, you know, write checks, and go to gold and silver related assets and Swiss franc government bonds for the timid, because they're pretty safe, safer than anything that I know of outside of gold and silver. And you know, I think the formula is there. It's the formula that was in place for those who survived financially during the last depression and every depression before that, going back for 1,000 years or more. And so that's the way it's going to be. Everything's going to be very volatile, very distasteful. There's going to be an awful lot of unhappy people who don't understand and don't want to understand. You know, why are they taking my car away and why are they throwing us out of the house and why do I have to live under a bridge?
Well, of course,
that's because they weren't listening.
Well, you know, of course, they've knocked the price of gold and of silver down. I never thought I'd see silver at this level, pardon me, gold at this level, or even silver at this level again. But they certainly have the ability to do that. They've cut the legs out from under platinum. Dramatic falls in the value of all of these precious metals. And when we get back with Bob, we'll be talking to that. But I suspect Bob is going to say, as I believe, this is only a temporary affair. They're manipulating it. Everything is manipulated. We need to realize that. Well, Bob, how do you feel about, of course, the dramatic drop in the price of gold and silver and platinum and palladium?
Well, I think there's a number of factors. Number one, traders consider them commodities. And when they took the commodities down because they were overpriced, which they were, they're going to take them down, the commodities, and gold and silver about 30%. And we're right at those levels now, although I don't think precious metals should come down that much because they didn't go up that much. So maybe precious metals will come down 10% or 15%. And I think precious metals at this level, which is around 870 gold, are going to base out here or within $10 or $15 a year. And I think it'll turn around and go right straight back up again. And I think for those who have capital It's a great opportunity to go into market and buy. You get stocks that are off 30 and 40% in 2 weeks. I mean, these are fine companies. And those are the things you should be considering. The stock market today took a dump again, and rightly so. The earnings aren't there, and there's an awful lot of other factors, such as the credit crisis. And the only reason that the market is where it is today, and it's not lower, is that the United States government has been interfering in the markets to keep them buoyed so that some of them won't collapse. And I think next year, the Dow, which is traded today, had a high of 14,100, but today it closed down 225 at 11,431. I see it going to 7,286, where it went in 2001. And that's a conservative estimate. I'll reappraise that when we get there. But we're in for a very, very difficult time. And I've studied this for 50 years. I've been in the markets for 50 years, and I really do know what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm sure you do, Bob, and I think we're in for very difficult times. It's very obvious watching the market goes up one day, down the next, up one day, down the next, that this is obviously being manipulated. They're playing games with our minds. And when the market goes down, people feel depressed. When the market goes up, people feel elated. Oh, my goodness. But when you go up at one day and down the next, pretty soon you don't know how to feel. And I think that they're manipulating our emotions, they're forming our tastes, they're creating our reality. And the average American doesn't really realize, of course, that this is all manipulated. They always have an explanation why these things are happening. But it has nothing to do with the reality that they have the working group on financial markets, which is their job is to manipulate the stock market in violation of the law, but they have an executive order they're operating under, and they're doing it very effectively with the cooperation of the media, who always has an explanation for why the market went up or why the market went down. But, of course, it's never the real reason.
Well, it's called propaganda.
Amen to that. Well, of course, I was really paraphrasing Edward Bernays, who wrote a book on propaganda.
Well, isn't that interesting?
So anyway, of course, you know, as we see this whole affair unfolding today, and certainly we see the markets contracting, we see our automotive industry is dramatically cutting back on the number of cars that are being produced, and still they're losing money, aren't they?
They are, and they're all going to go bankrupt, unfortunately. There's just no two ways around it, and these problems began in 1980.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Bob was just saying he thinks that our major automotive companies are going to go bankrupt, and we're talking about General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, the big three here in the United States, and yet, of course, they're having very, very real problems because of the union contracts where they guaranteed their workers just unrealistic proceeds and pension funds, and now they're buying out their employees $100,000, $150,000 an individual. Some of the more gullible are selling out. The others are staying on. But the trouble is, when you're an automotive worker and you get laid off or you sell out, then where do you get a job that's going to pay you an adequate salary in the future, or at least a salary similar to what you've been receiving? And these people have been getting fantastic salaries, really the equivalent of $68 to $70 an hour by the time you took in their income and then all their benefits and their medical benefits and all of these things. But I think those days are long since gone, don't you, Bob?
Yeah, they are. And what's going to be needed again is somewhere along the way, an evolutionary new labor union movement. And just like there was in the late 1890s and as it started during the 20s and then really got rolling during the 30s. And I think that's going to come along again. But in order for that to happen, we have to regain our industry. And how we do that is set up tariffs on goods and services. And until we do that, we cannot recapture our markets.
But Bob, don't you think that the globalists who really control our government have no intention of actually restoring tariffs or protecting American producers or American workers? Their loyalty is not to America, but to this globalist dream. And of course, the only way this is going to work is going to be to actively lower the living standards of the American people. And this seems to be what they're intent upon doing. As they raise the living standards throughout the world, they lower living standards here as part of the process known as equality, or as it says in the Earth Charter, equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. And of course that works by taking the money away from the American workers and giving them to workers throughout the world, and of course destroying the value of our currency so we can all be equal, other than of course the ruling elite, the elite who are really pushing this globalist concept.
Well, I wrote an article on that in 1967, the first nationally syndicated article I ever wrote for the American Mercury, and people told me I was insane. And here we are, 40 years later, and they're doing exactly what I had forecast that they would do. They had to bring America down to the level of the third world in order for them to implement world government, and they're in the process of doing so.
And they're still in the process of doing so, and the average individual really doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't understand that the people who control our congressmen and the people who provide the money for our senators to get reelected and thus control them, and the people in the executive branch of government, their loyalty is not to the United States, even though they swore an oath to defend us against all enemies, foreign and domestic, but they themselves are enemies because their loyalty is to this globalist dream of the New World Order, the New World Religion, and, of course, eventually, the New World Leader. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I agree with you completely. And the whole thing's been planned. The only difference in the plan is that it's become so effective and untimely for them, because they tried to stop the plan, and they couldn't, that they're in a position where they can lose their wealth and power as well. And this is not the first time this has happened to them. And what they will try to do is take over the reins of government and put people in a position where they can't fight back, so to speak. And I think enough Americans, and America will continue to lead the world, because of the people in America. I don't think they're going to stand for it, and they're going to act. Other people in most countries won't, but they will in America.
Well, we certainly need to get them educated, though, because most people know something's wrong, but they can't connect the dots, and of course that's what we do here at Radio Liberty, try to get them educated, and I know that you do this on many other networks as well. So at least hopefully there's a cadre of people out there who are learning what this is about, and these are the people who will stand at the gate, you know, and defend America against these wicked people. Within, of course, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, they have many names, but they're there. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you really should, because we name names, we tell you who they are, what they're doing. And they have a different agenda, because in fact, my opinion, they worship a different God. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman, and we're talking about the difficult financial times we're living in. And I saw our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And of course, we would welcome your calls if you have any question or comment. And, of course, you know, one of the interesting things is to find out all the major banks that are in trouble. People like Merrill Lynch certainly is having severe financial problems. And even J.P. Morgan and Citibank, and Citibank being the largest bank in the world, pardon me, the largest bank in the United States, is having problems. Even the Hong Kong-Singapore bank there that we hear so much about, they've lost fantastic amounts of money. You would think that they would have been smart enough to avoid that. Union Bank of Switzerland, the third largest bank in the world, is having severe financial problems with, you know, as much as $70 billion of certainly of questionable assets. The Deutsche Bank, one of the largest banks in Germany, is having trouble. It seems like all of our major financial institutes are having difficulty, aren't they, Bob?
They certainly are. And, you know, it's a good question you brought out there. How did they all get bagged in this? And I'll tell you how it happened. Number one, it's bred of arrogance, you know, in their attitude towards everybody else. And, you know, we're the leaders of the world, and you do what we tell you to do. And one situation changed it all. And I can't help but think of the French phrase that describes that, and that is, ça change tout alors. And that is, that changes everything. And a young lady in her 30s, who is one of the top bank analysts, she's with Oppenheimer and Company in New York, and a year ago, June, she came out and said, look, Citigroup is not worth what it's selling for, the stock, and they've got problems that should be exposed. And she opened a whole can of worms, and everybody in the banking industry in Europe and the United States could cop with their pants down. And ever since, we've had a credit crisis, and it's worse now than when they started. It has not improved. It's getting worse. And they have two new rules coming out from the Financial Standards Board, and they're going to have to start declaring all of their losses, and many banks are going to go under. And that's why the FDIC called back 35 former
supervisory people. Hold that thought. We're going to be right back in just a moment.
People.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Bob is talking about the real financial problems of the financial institutions that many of our banks are. Probably almost half of the banks in the United States are insolvent today, if you really look very effectively at their balance sheets. Of course, a lot of this has to be covered up. They'll hide their assets and their lack of assets. But Bob is pointing out that the Federal Deposit Insurance Company has called back 30 or 40 of their people from retirement to begin to take care of all the banks that are going to go bankrupt in the not-too-distant future. Now, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question or comment for Bob, and then, of course, we'll welcome your calls. But before we go on, Bob, I do want you to get out your web page and, of course, your email address, or how people can get in touch with you or get a free copy of the International Forecaster. And perhaps some of our listeners would want to get a copy of it so they would know what's really going on, because I find your analysis of what's taking place very accurate, and information where you're not getting from other sources. So would you like to put a plug in for the International Forecaster?
Oh, I certainly would. And it's about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. It's published by email twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. It runs around 30 pages each time. For those who are not on the Internet, we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month. And you can get a free introductory copy by going to the site. And that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. theinternationalforecaster.com. If you'd like to email us and order a copy or ask a question, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@ YAHOO.com. And if you'd like to call toll-free, you can go to 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188, and you can get a free copy there as well.
All right, fine. And of course, the information there is fascinating. Bob does really a yeoman's job in evaluating what's taking place all throughout the world. If you want to know what's happening in Spain, they're having real troubles in Spain. If you want to know what's happening in Brazil, actually, Brazil's really doing pretty well. Why, this is a wonderful source of information to give you the overview of what's happening, but overall, of course, the economy of almost all nations is contracting, and but of course, what we're really seeing is the destruction of the value of currency all throughout the world. Inflation is rampant, and of course, most people don't understand inflation, not until they suddenly wake up one morning, and they find, of course, that the value of their life savings is dissipated. The value of the insurance policies that they took out to protect their loved ones is destroyed. The value, certainly, of their annuities that they were depending upon, their pensions, which they anticipated would sustain them, they're all simply a remembrance of things past. There is nothing more vicious and destructive than inflation. Well, let's go to Chris, who's calling right now from Plummer, Idaho. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan and Bob.
Have you called before, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I didn't recognize Plummer, Idaho. I'd never heard of that before. Yeah. Where is that?
That's about 36 miles south of Coeur d'Alene.
Okay, fine. Okay, you're hearing it out of a Spokane station there. Go ahead.
I was wondering if Bob knew anything about Jon Snow, the Bush administration. They boondoggled him and shut him up cold and ran him out. And I think he was trying to tell the truth, but I'm not sure what was going on. But anyway, they got rid of him. But I was just wondering if Bob has any information about what he might know about that.
Well, your take is perfect. He wouldn't go along with their program, so they got rid of him. And they called another fellow in, and he lasted a little bit longer, and they got rid of him, too. I forget his name. But what's that? Since then, the other fellow, not Snow, has had a lot to say about what's been going on in the economy, and it hasn't been complimentary. So you're picked to go there, but you're supposed to do what you're told to do, and if you don't, they get rid of you.
Yeah, well, Chris, we had O'Neill, we had Snow, and now we've got Paul.
Yeah, it was O'Neill was the other one.
O'Neill, I think, was an honest man. If you haven't read his book, Why the Price of Loyalty, I think it's a very, very important book. And then they got rid of him, then they got rid of Snow, and now we've got Paulson in there. So I don't trust him at all. He comes from Goldman Sachs. He gave up us a job as CEO of Goldman Sachs for $40 million a year, to take a job that pays $180,000 a year. Now, why would anybody do that? Well, of course, because he's going to be able to do a great deal of damage to America. And, of course, I really fear that there are people outside of our government who really run our government. Doesn't matter whether the Democrats or Republicans are in power. A small group of very wealthy financiers in various areas throughout our nation really control our country, and they have since the days of Andrew Jackson. And, of course, really, I'm paraphrasing a letter I found that Franklin Delano Roosevelt wrote to Colonel House back in 1933, where he said, Colonel, both you and I know that these financial elements have controlled our government since the days of Andrew Jackson. Now, if anybody would like to see that letter, we make that available. So they understood what was going on in 33. It's just tragic that most people don't understand what's going on today. Anything else you wanted to ask, Chris?
Well, it's just that Bob is right. It's just really sad to think that a guy like this was trying to be a patriot and then shut him up and got rid of him. And I could tell from some of the conversation that he had that he was trying to tell the truth, but he wasn't able to. And because he could see what was going on, he was forecasting like Bob Chapman did, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing already, and that's why they got rid of him.
Well, you know, the same thing in essence happened to Walker, who was the head of the Congressional Budget Office, had a 14 year appointment, and that can't be broken unless you voluntarily resign. And he was telling everybody the truth about everything, and all of a sudden, he's leaving his position, and he's going to be paid $2 million a year to be the president or CEO of Pete Peterson's foundation. And Peterson is one of the main cogs on the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, Walker's either very dumb or he's taking a payoff.
No, I'd say he's probably taking a very good payoff. And, of course, what he was really trying to tell the American people is we're bankrupt. We owe, you know, another 50 or 60 billion, trillion dollars. That's our riddled national debt with all the obligations we have for Medicare and for Medicare drug bill and for Social Security money that there's just no way is ever going to be, we can possibly pay off. And, of course, they didn't like David Walker going around and telling people that. And I believe that's why they paid him off to get him out of there and to silence him.
I just pray that... I can't shut you and Bob up. You're doing such a great service to the American people, and you're such true patriots that I wish everybody could hear this kind of truth.
Well, I just pray for our provision and protection, please, because that's, I think, the only thing that's keeping us going right now. Anything else, Chris, before we let you go?
God bless you both.
Thanks very much. And let's
go
to Charles, who's calling from Harlem, New York. Hi, Charles. How are you doing?
How are you, Dr. Stan? God bless you and your radio ministry. And Uncle Bob over there, who was very kind to send me the International Forecaster, the great publication. Bob, question for you, quickly. Please tell me about the families, or should I say, the two different Illuminati factions, the European and the American. And tell me how the, is there any infighting between the neocons and Rockefeller's camp, meaning the big New Brzezinski.
All right.
And give me those dynamics, if you could, please, and I'll listen off the air. Thank you, guys.
Thanks very much, Charles. Okay,
well,
fine.
First of all, Stan has written a book about that, so, Stan, you start off.
All right, well, Chris, the thing is that there is a power elite that really rules the world, and, of course, there are various factions of this. There's the Council on Foreign Relations in the United States, and there's the Bilderbergers, which involves the financial leaders of the United States and the financial leaders of Europe. There's the Trilateral Commission, which is primarily the financial leaders of the United States. There's the Club of Rome, which is primarily the financial leaders of Europe. And, of course, we could talk about the Masons, we could talk about the Rosicrucians, the Theosophists, the Lucis Trust. All of these organizations, whether the people understand it or not, are founded in the occult, because all of them are working towards world government, and of course, all of them are aimed at really this idea of bringing about a one-world government, a one-world religion, and the installation of a one-world ruler. And of course, these are the occult ideas that have been passed down for 5,000 years, which I describe in my talk on the Forbidden Secret, the secret knowledge, and of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. There's no question at all that there is a spiritual force that is guiding many of these people. Certainly one of the leaders of this is David Rockefeller, who is for many years the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, who joined the Bilderbergers in 1954. And for 54 years, he's attended every meeting. This organization, which was decreed in early June of this year, that they were going to lower the price of oil. And you know what's happened since then? Why, the price of oil has come down. They pick Bill Clinton for the presidency. They usually pick our leaders. They determine our financial policies. And, of course, they interlock with the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome. But all of these organizations are clouded in secrecy. Most people have never heard of them. That's why, of course, programs like this, and certainly my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is so vitally important. So you will go ahead and elaborate on that, Bob.
Well, part of the question was... the dichotomous decision-making that's going on between the two basic factions, the Europeans and the Americans, and the evolution of the real estate cycle and the securitization of those mortgages has turned out to be a disaster. And the Europeans own 40% of them, and the European neocons, for all intents and purposes, I should say, are Illuminists. And they're not too happy about that. and also not too happy about the tremendous failure in the Middle East in planning and executing the wars and occupations. And Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is a mouthpiece and a very bright one for the Illuminists in Europe, said that the actions of the Bush administrations that set the plans for world government back by 30 years, and I think he's underestimating, but the point is, for the last 2 years, American foreign policy has been run by the European Illuminati, not by the American Illuminati, or which are known today as neocons. And there is a difference among, you might say, professional criminals. And at this time, the Europeans are running the show. And I think that's going to continue that way for some time. And I think the American economy and finances and all of the things that go along with America are going to be hurt and damaged far more than other economies will because of the abject stupidity of the people running the show in the United States.
And, of course, behind all of this, of course, are the really truly Luciferian and satanic forces which mobilize the people, whether they be the Rothschilds in Europe or the Rockefellers in the United States, these families of great wealth who really dominate what's going on. And the fact most people don't understand that, that there really is a spiritual force that energizes these people and has given them great wealth and great power. But, of course, at the cost of their eternal souls. Well, our telephone number, once again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I think that, of course, we're in for some very, very difficult times, you know, between now and the end of the year. And I think that people need to begin making preparations and get their house in order. Well, I'm going to let Bob take that up because he describes that very well. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I think a reiteration for, I guess, the thousandth time on this and the other program that we're on together, you've got to get rid of your credit card debt. It's your most expensive debt. It's the most important thing you can do for yourself. And then the revolving debt at department stores and things like that, which is equally onerous. And, you know, just clean things up so that if you get in the pickle, then you're going to have some background to fall back on. At least you won't have a lot of debt to deal with. And as I said, I think people should have food and a filter for water. They should have methods of defending their home. And if you have more money than that, you should be in gold and silver related assets. And if you get lots of money, or you're very old and you just want to maintain what you've got, you can go into Swiss franc government bonds. And you should have your money out of the banks, except what you have to keep there. And a lot of that money has been going into Swiss franc government bonds as well as quality gold and silver stocks. And we do have three reports, or links to reports, on the solvency of banks, which we'll give to people if they email us. And if they want information about coins or shares or bonds, we have people you can talk to. And I have no financial interest in any of the things that I recommend. The only people that pay me are the people who subscribe to the publication.
Well, let's go to Steve, who's calling us from Illinois. Steve, do you have a question or comment?
Sure. Real short comment. You know, Richard Nixon privately worried of a cabal trying to usurp things that he wanted done in the White House and that. And then Jimmy Carter, in his book, spoke of this cabal also pulling the rug out from anything and making him look like the laughing stock. He was actually for this country more than any leader has been in modern day, in my estimation. Then the skids were really greased in 1980 with Reagan and company, and a real bad way for this country is where we start going down. And Bob, my question would be, you just made a statement because of the abject stupidity of our leaders. Do you really find them stupid? I hear people saying this, and the war is a failure and everything. I think it's been a wonderful success for these insiders.
All right, I think that's a good point. Bob, how would you respond to Steve? As Steve says that these people didn't make a mistake when they got us into this war with Afghanistan and Iraq. They knew exactly what they were doing. Do you think that's true?
Yes, that's true, but I think the operation of the operation is what I and Brzezinski was referring to. And that is that they made a mess out of it.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty with Bob Chapin. All right, Steve, do you want to have anything else you want to say before we let it go? I guess, we lost Steve there. So, well, Bob, you've got 3 minutes then to wrap up the program, and you don't have to talk to Steve anymore, so go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, to better describe what went on, first of all, I predicted that there would be an event that would be the catalyst for war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I predicted this in November before 9/11. I was only off by 33 days, although I didn't know what the event was going to be. It was just the timing. And the event happened, and America went forward. There was a number of reasons I did that. Number one was to obscure in the American public's mind the problems that we have economically and financially in the United States. Second of all, they wanted to get their hands on that very, very cheap oil. It was the last of the low-lying fruit on the trees, and they only have to get down 100 feet, and they hit some of the best oil in the world. And they were after that, after control of it. And they also wanted to geopolitically outflank Russia and China. And that's one of the reasons I think that you're going to see them going into Pakistan as well. And so with that in mind, that whole plan was a general plan of the Illuminati. It's just that the people who were running the plan, Bush and Cheney, Rumsfeld, just made a terrible mess out of it. And that's what Brzezinski said, and he's right. They did. And if you listen to what he says, and analyze it, you really find out what's going on, because these people don't make any secret out of what they're doing. I mean, they have their own publications, and for many, many years they've published exactly what they're doing, because they don't think you're reading and listening. And this is for them, among themselves. And so they do what they want to do, and they tell you about it, and 99.8% of the population doesn't listen.
Well, that's because they don't listen to Radio Liberty, and they don't listen to Bob Sharp. Anyway, Bob, I want to thank you very much for being with us, and certainly we'll look forward to talking to you there again. I believe it's the next Monday we have you on, and, of course, we're hoping to actually have our afternoon programs heard in Spokane every afternoon at 4 o'clock. This is what we're looking for, and of course, we'll be featuring Bob Chapin at the time when we do it, so people can keep abreast of what's going on, at least in Spokane, every week. Good night. God bless. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much, Stan. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Bob Chapin. I know I do every week. And as we see this whole incredible scenario, you know, imploding, the destruction of our financial system, the destruction of our building industry, the destruction of our automotive industry, the destruction, certainly, of so much of the infrastructure of our country, and people losing their homes and losing their cars and losing, really being forced into bankruptcy, and that's many times into abject poverty. And I want to tell you what's going to happen. It's going to get a lot worse. And then it's going to not recover for a good long time. And the America we know is just simply not going to reappear again, unless, of course, there are enough Americans who are willing to take a stand, and we can reestablish our constitutional republic, and then reestablish a free society. Well, certainly we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience, if you're listening in the Great Northwest, and we have a great listening audience there, will want to help us. We're going to actually put our Radio Liberty program onto the either the 4 to 5 or 5 to 6 program in Spokane every day. And of course, we're going to be featuring Bob, whichever one we have on, we'll have Bob on. So you can hear him every week during that time slot. And hopefully this will be a much larger audience that we have in the evening. And if you'd like to help us, we could certainly use your help as we're beginning to lay the foundation for that program. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, our number 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know, if you have no people who'd like to advertise in the program or help us financially, a lot of people I know can't afford to. A lot of people are really hurting today. But if you are in a position to help, why, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Then if you haven't read my little pamphlet on the history of money or on the financial meltdown, both of those are available, and we recommend them to you. And then, of course, I certainly have my talk on the financial tsunami given a couple of years ago, but we were anticipating exactly what was going to happen and what you should be doing or should have done at that time to prepare for it. But it's not too late. I mean, we still have time, and you must do the right thing if you hope to survive the difficult times that lie ahead. We carry the book, and that's a financial tsunami. Comes with a syllabus. And then, of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, which is, of course, the classic book, explains to you how they create a monetary system based upon debt. It is not necessarily the money in circulation. It's the credit and debt that they can create a massive trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt built upon, of course, money in circulation of $700 or $800 billion. So understand that everything, of course, is mirage. Everything is an illusion, delusion, as is money. And one of these days, we're going to have to get back to reality. And with that will come terrible suffering. The book Creature from Jekyll Island, the book The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Anthony Sutton, the book Fiat Money, Inflation in France, and then, of course, the two pamphlets I mentioned, The History of Money and The Financial Meltdown. We recommend them to you. We hope that you will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and learn more about these items. And then, of course, we hope you'll begin to explore the spiritual component of what's going on. And, of course, that would be my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness and what energizes this movement. My talk on the Forbidden Secret and the force that energizes the movement. My talk on the secret knowledge, and, of course, that and the Forbidden Secret both deal with a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years through the ancient Egyptian civilization and the Babylonian civilization and the Assyrian, and then of course the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans and the British Empire and now to where we are today. But there is a secret that's been known to the leaders and the priests and the philosophers, and we're going to tell you that secret, the secret to wealth and power that you do not want to suddenly try to obtain. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is... Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and they happen to be the views for the next hour of Arthur Birnflower, who's with the Veterans for Constitutional Law. And, of course, his organization represents the veterans who, of course, we talk a lot about how much we appreciate our veterans, but the truth of the matter is, of course, the people who run government think that the veterans are simply in the way. They have an agenda. They do everything they can to undercut veterans' rights, to limit their access to health care, to limit their access to the disability payments that they're entitled to. And Arthur and a small group of his friends are out there on the front line trying to get fair treatment for the veterans who served so bravely in the Second World War and in the Vietnam War and in the Korean War and now, of course, in the First and Second Gulf Wars. And so without further ado, Arthur, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. It's always a pleasure to do a program with you.
Well, tell us now what's happening. Has anything really changed since they passed the law that allows the veterans to have legal representation when they're taking their cases before the Veterans Administration? Because for so many years, it would take you 10 to 20 years before you could get a lawyer to represent you. Every barrier was put in the way to keep the veterans from getting a fair shake. What is the effect of the new law? What is the new law, and what's the effect of it?
Well, there is a change. The new law was Senate Bill 3421, which allows a veteran to retain an attorney to take his claim into an Article III federal court, federal district court. Previously, for the last 75 years, a veteran had not been allowed to take his claim to any court except the Veterans Court, which was the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, which in 20-plus years and 18,000-plus decisions, we've got a grand total of 196 veteran wins. And there's been maybe about another 15, 20 wins. I haven't got an exact figure on there, but let's say they're over 200 wins, but we're talking about 20 years and 18,000 claims. It's a disgrace. It's really a farce. The entire thing is a farce. And veterans were supposed to have judicial review years ago. And due to a win by a veteran in Indiana by the name of Stephen Marizon, who got an on-bank decision from eight judges, they formed this court in the middle of the night. Senator Specter, Senator Simpson of Wyoming, Specter of Pennsylvania, and Sonny Montgomery, who was the head of the House Veterans Affairs Committee from Mississippi, who, by the way, had six times the adjudication rate of the national average. He took care of his constituents, but the hell with the rest of the country. And these are the three people that formed what they call a court. I call it a farce. And this is all the Veterans Administration. And I call them a renegade administrative agency outside the laws of this land. And this Senate Bill 3421 being passed allowed us to take the case into court, and there have been more and more veterans filing, and most veterans are not even aware that this law was passed because they've been keeping everything on the QT.
Well, now that means, of course, that a veteran is not getting a fair shake from the Veterans Administration. They can hire a lawyer and get that representation. I mean, the government has, I don't know, 1,100 lawyers. To use against people who have no lawyers at all.
That's right.
And, of course, now these things are better. And hopefully the veterans who have sacrificed so much for our country will get a better shake. We'll be back in just a moment with Arthur Birnflower right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Arthur, are many of these veterans then getting at least more favorable hearings?
Yeah, they're getting more favorable hearings, but we're just trying to educate the veterans and alert them that they now have the right to go to court, and most of them are still not aware of this because the newspaper and the media has not been playing this up, and I guess most of these veterans are too busy watching NASCAR and the wrestling show to know what's going on in the rest of the world. And, you know, I'm laughing, but it's not funny. It's tragic. And it's got an upside and it's got a downside. And when I say to a veteran who has an adjudication by the VA and he gets turned down, what does he do? He files an appeal again with the VA and waits another 2 years for another decision. And I tell him, you don't have to do that. You can get a lawyer and take him into court. And he says, I didn't know that. Or he'll say, oh, I try to get lawyers, but you can't find any. If you can't find any, it means you're not looking for them. And there's hundreds of thousands of lawyers in this country that are looking for cases. When somebody tells me I can't find a lawyer, I can't believe he's even really looked. So this is what's happened as we draw near to near to the end of this year, 2008. We've got an election coming up. We have a possible, maybe a more than a possible war coming up again, another war. We're not even out of Iraq yet, and we may not be out of there for another year or two. And we've got something coming up with Iran. We've got Mr. Bush rattling his sable and saber, and I don't think Mr. Bush wants to leave office. I think he wants to stay here. And, you know, I'm addressing, you know, this message. I'm addressing a message to the people of the United States as well as to the Fourth Estate, our esteemed media. And as disabled veterans were disenfranchised and victimized by a predatory, dishonest, outlaw government administrative agency, the VA, and I call them an outlaw government administrative agency. I liken them to the old Indian agency that used to cheat the Indians, and the target now are veterans. They are exactly like the Indian agency used to be, and I blame them. I blame its National Veterans Service Organizations. People ask me, what do I mean by National Veterans Service Organizations? The chartered group, the DAV, the American Legion, the VFW, all these guys who've got the organizations who have their hands in the pocket of the VA.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Arthur is just saying that the veterans here in the United States really are not getting a fair shake under most circumstances. And unfortunately, the chartered veterans organizations, and he talks about the American Legion, the disabled American veterans, and so many of the other groups, are getting a largesse. They're getting funding from the actually from the government. And because of that, they are not representing the veterans. And so basically, of course, the leaders have been bought off. That's why organizations like Arthur's and perhaps one or two others, Veterans for Constitutional Law, are really able to help the veterans because, of course, they're not dependent upon government for their funding. They're funded privately, and, of course, nobody who works for them gets any money. And, of course, people of the other organizations making lots of money and going right along with the government programs designed to deprive our veterans of their due. So pick the story of there, Arthur.
Okay, and we're pleading with the public to carry this message to all Americans that veterans' protection under the Constitution of the United States has been stolen from us, and the same thing is going to happen to all of you good people unless we draw a line in the sand. We say no more. We call a halt to this outrage, which should never have been permitted to go this far. And our very last and only hope is with the media to bring word to the American public and to warn the mothers and fathers of any youngster of military age about the growing power of these VA empire builders and the total ambush that's waiting for their loved ones if they get injured while serving in the United States military. And we don't have to go back too far in history to trace the origins of this, only about 70-some-odd years. And the infamy of these warped, outrageous, restrictive laws of United States Code Title 38, which were passed by Congress, and it's gone down in history as the biggest betrayal of all time, and most of these laws were passed originally for the Economic Emergency Act in 1933, and it was declared as unconstitutional, and they came right back with it again in 1940, calling it a different name. The Veterans Benefits Improvement Act is the same as the Economic Emergency Act of 1933, which was unconstitutional, but this law applied to veterans only. And the Supreme Court killed the Economic Emergency Act, but it got back in as the Veterans Benefits Improvement Act. And it was brought back specifically for denying veterans equal protection under the law.
You know, I think it's amazing, Arthur, how they will use terms. For instance, the Income Tax Simplification Act, that means they've got to make it more complicated.
Oh, sure.
And of course, they tell you one thing, of course, and that's in the prelude to the law. But when you read this small print, you find out that so often these laws are exactly the opposite. And we see example after example after example of that. And every time they pass a new law referable to the income tax, why we find out, you know, oh my goodness, we're going to pass this new law because there are millionaires out there that aren't paying their fair share of taxes, and everybody nods their head dutifully, and oh, that's terrible. And so they pass this law, and the next thing you know, there are more millionaires who aren't paying any taxes, but the taxes for the middle class people have been raised. And so it's all a scam. Never read the title of a bill. Look at the small print and find out what it's really about, and you'll find that time and time again we are being betrayed by our leaders. So go right ahead, Arthur.
Exactly. Now, unless the public and the media, they put the, you know, they put these people in a government, they put their feet to the fire and make them do the right thing, nothing is going to happen, and the conspiracy becomes infinitely worse as Congress passes more laws under Title 38. But now that they passed this 3421, a class action was filed against the Veterans Administration this last April in San Francisco, California, in the Ninth Federal Circuit, and the veterans were represented by one of the largest law firms in the country, Morrison & Foster LLP, and they brought suit. 800,000 veterans and two veterans organizations brought suit against the VA, but the trial lasted only 6 days, and I sent 240 pages on Mr. Anthony Principi, who is the secretary of the VA, and Mr. Principi got a $250,000 bonus before he took office on the VA to switch the physical evaluation and examinations over to his own corporation, QTC Corporation, at the cost of $495 per examination, whereas previously all the examinations were done in the hospital, in the Veterans Hospital, by a VA physician on salary, and the payback to the government was $89.80. So Mr. Principi made his own corporation a fast $1.2 billion and got a $250,000 bonus check on there, and I sent 240 pages to these lawyers, and they didn't even use that. They did not even use that in the trial, and I was trying to contact them for 6 weeks, and I didn't get one return call, and I was calling on a daily basis for the chief litigant, and finally, when I called for a vice president of the law firm, the chief litigant came on the phone and said the trial is over. I said, the trial is over. It's only been 6 days. And he says, the trial is all over. I said, well, what was decided? They said, being that the VA has an adjudication rate that's so bad that 770,000 veterans are owed disability money, a lot of them going back to World War II for gunshot and malaria, and 770,000 veterans are owed money, and the disability adjudication rate was so terrible, they told the VA that they are going to have to improve their adjudication rate, and they gave them 150 days to do this. And I said, fine, but in looking at what you're telling me, somebody sent me a copy of the minutes of the trial, and I don't see any penalties that are provided against the VA if they don't improve the adjudication rate in 150 days. And he says, oh, the penalty will be the same as it always is with the VA. They'll get a slap on the back of the wrist, and they'll be told you've been a bad boy. And this is what the trial turned out to be. And then several weeks later, I got a call from somebody, and I can't even give any names here because the party is not only afraid of losing his job, he's afraid of, with all the billions of dollars involved, he's afraid of somebody killing him. So I got a call saying that the veterans' lawyers double-crossed the veterans and cut a deal with the VA. And I have no way of proving this, and I can't actually go out and say, hey, you crooks, you know, we're taking you to court again. But I've asked the two veterans organizations and the veterans to appeal the case, which they're going to do. But I've also asked them to fire this law firm.
Well, you know, Arthur, this is the oldest game in the world. And simply, we've seen this time and time again. This is what happened up, in my estimation, to the people who were experimented on by the government, the Tuskegee study. And basically, they simply bought off the lawyers. And they made a small settlement. But, you know, here we're talking about people who are actually being left to die and suffer.
Yeah.
And with treatment being intentionally withheld because they wanted to autopsy these black people with syphilis. And yet the lawyer betrayed them, and I think that it's obviously this what you're describing. Unless you have moral lawyers who really are in this because, not because of money, but because of idealism and because they want to help the lawyers, they want to help the veterans, nothing is going to change. What's going to happen now? Is there going to be an appeal on this case?
There's going to be an appeal.
Did they fire the lawyers?
I actually thought these lawyers were above board. But I'm urging them, put the appeal in and get yourself some other legal representation because you're not being represented by the right people.
Well, what's going to happen?
It's just a guess. If they get themselves somebody, they've got a very strong case. Now, the figures are down there. There are 770,000 veterans that are owed money by the VA, and they were told they've got to improve the adjudication rate. How much? They didn't say. And penalties? They won't give them any penalties. They won't put any penalties down for them.
It seems
just, the very reason that as soon as I started insisting that they take Mr. Principi and put him in as a defendant, they all of a sudden became unavailable to me. I was calling them for 6 weeks on a daily basis, and they wouldn't get back to me until I called and asked for a vice president. Then they got back to me. They came right on the phone as soon as I asked for a vice president there. So I think they ought to get rid of these attorneys and go again on an appeal. I really do. Now, in the meantime, there's a lot of individual cases going up. We got one of our veterans who's filing criminal intent in Mississippi. It seems to be an interesting case. I don't want to talk about that too much because I may alert the government and give away something. So I was told by the attorney there, he says, don't discuss the case until they actually file it.
All right, fine. Well, of course, the plight of our veterans really is so tragic. What people don't understand is that certainly fully a third and probably much more than that of the veterans, of the million veterans who are coming back from the Second Gulf War, the one we're involved in now, are ill. And they have all sorts of physical problems. What percentage? Do we have any idea what percentage of those people are ill?
Absolutely. Absolutely. At least one in five.
One in five.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it's at least one in five and probably a lot more.
And my understanding was almost a third of them had some sort of a physical disability or at least problem, you know, within 3 months or so of being back. But you're saying it's closer to 20%?
Well, if you're going to include PTSD, I think your figure of at least a third is right.
All right, fine. Well, I'm going to include all of the disabilities. These are young men, healthy young men who went overseas to fight for freedom, and they come back and they're disabled. They've got all sorts of emotional and physical problems, and I really believe it's close to at least a third of them, and
who
knows how much higher. We're never going to get the figures.
TBI, traumatic brain injuries. 320,000.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead. You were talking about these traumatic brain injuries. How many?
320,000 veterans, over 300,000 PTSD. So your figure of a third is, if you're going to include PTSD, is a lot more accurate than my figure of one in five.
All right, fine. Of course, these people with the post-traumatic brain injuries from the roadside explosions, and this is having a profound impact on these boys coming back. And how are these boys doing as far as getting jobs, getting back into society? And do we have any figures at all about? And I'm talking now of the boys from the Second Gulf War.
Not very well, but we have had a new GI Bill, which Senator Webb of Virginia says will pass. It will definitely pass. And it's going to give the same benefits as the World War II and Korean GI Bill, which they did away with a number of years ago, and we've had something called the Montgomery GI Bill for all this time, and the Montgomery GI Bill is another government disgrace. They took all the benefits, and they cut wherever and whenever they can. And now we're going to say goodbye to the Montgomery GI Bill, goodbye and good riddance, because Senator Webb's bill will pass, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be just how it was after World War II, where these guys were able to get their education paid for and done the right way. So they're doing something, because you've got a few good people like Senator Webb in there, and you're head of the House Veterans Affairs Committee in California. He's in California, Congressman Filner in Chula Vista, California. He seems to be the best I've ever seen there in the House Veterans Affairs Committee, because we've had a succession of dirtbags running the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and I'm hoping possibly the survivors of Bataan and Corregidor might get this thing through the House. If it gets through the House to indemnify these people who were captured in Bataan and Corregidor, indemnify them for $20,000 apiece. Now, these people are all in their 90s by now. They're all in their 90s.
And I think it's really what's so interesting is that these are the men, of course, many of them were taken off to Japan to work in the war industries there. And they brought suit against the Japanese, and our government intervened so that they could not get a claim against our good friends in Japan.
That's right. This was our Attorney General's office, our Justice Department. They offered their entire staff of lawyers to the Japanese lobby to get the case thrown out of court. Again, it was the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco. And they threw it out of court. And, you know, it's just tragic what has happened to these people. Just tragic. Now, these people serve 4 and 5 years as slave laborers in Japan. And some of your biggest companies like Mitsui, Mitsubishi, they reaped a big profit off of these people. They reaped a big profit, and they've been trying to get this passed, and they've been trying to, they took them to court, and they threw that out, and they're trying to get a $20,000 indemnification from the Veterans Administration, because nobody has gotten a button yet. However, when Pearl Harbor was attacked, everybody of Japanese extraction was interned, most of them for as little as one day. Each and every one of them, without exception, has gotten $20,000.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Arthur Stan, and certainly Arthur is bringing out the point that the Japanese were interned in the United States during the Second World War. Japanese citizens never should have been interned, but they all got, of course, $20,000 each from the government. However, the Americans who were taken to Japan after the Bataan Death March, those who survived, were put to work for major Japanese corporations who were making tremendous profits during the Second World War. And when they came home and, of course, wanted compensation, they were told that this had never happened. The government did everything they could to prevent them from getting any benefits here. And then, of course, when they brought suit against the Japanese corporations where they'd worked as slave laborers, our government intervened to prevent them from getting any compensation. Of course, the hope is that this may be rectified for those small number that are still there. They're in their 90s by now, most
they're
of them
in
are.
Their, most of them are in their 90s.
Right.
There's a few that are still late 80s, but most of them are in their 90s. And the only thing we can do here is we've got to keep the pressure on our elected officials. Now, we've had pretty good media coverage in the newspapers, on the radio and TV, but it could have been much, much better for sure. Harder hitting. And we owe a deep debt of gratitude to these survivors of Bataan and Corregidor that, you know, we can't repay them. We owe a deep debt of gratitude to these people and to our former World War II slave labor POWs. This is a debt that could never be repaid. And don't forget, these heroes, and they're heroes, they held on in the Philippines, being promised that help that was forthcoming, which never arrived. They stalled the powerful Japanese war machine for many months until we could recoup and rebuild our destroyed Navy. They bought us the time that we needed to get back into the war, and if it wasn't for their valiant efforts, we might all be speaking Japanese today. And now, more than ever, today more than ever, they need our help, and we're running out of time. At best, the youngest of these veterans are in their late 80s. Let's not let them down. If these bills pass and $20,000 is given to each survivor by the VA, it would greatly influence the decisions that will be made by the courts in the lawsuits against these Japanese industrialists who despicably used American POWs as slave laborers, and as mentioned before, time is not on our side. Let's not let down these patriotic Americans whom we all owe so much to.
Well said, Sir Arthur. I think that is something that the average American really is not that concerned about, mainly because we never mention it. We're so consumed with the problems and the antics of Kevin Federline, of course, of Britney Spears, of Paris Hilton, and of course the latest golf tournament, and the really important issues that deal with the tragedy of the Second World War and the plight of the veterans of the Bataan death marches is never mentioned here. If they would talk about it every day like they do with all these other nonsensical issues, why, of course, you'd raise the ire of the American people. Unfortunately, since we do have a controlled medium, since they do control our tastes, our ideas, our concepts, our beliefs, why, of course, most people are totally unaware of this. Is this legislation before Congress right now, Arthur?
Yeah. It's before the committees in Congress. We want to get it before the entire Congress. It's right now, it's in committee again. Now, we've been trying to get this passed. You're not going to believe this, Dr. Stan. This has come up every year since 1946. 62 years we've been trying to get this, and they never get it out of committee. But, you know, we've got a man there now, Bob Filner. It's a possibility if anyone can get it out of committee and onto the floor of Congress for a vote. He could do it. And if it does get onto the floor of Congress for a vote, I think it's a win-win situation.
All right, so Senator Webb, is it Senator Webb, the senator who's introduced this into the Senate? Who is the crippled war veteran, in the United States Senate, who's been really representing the veterans very well? Well, all right, you would know that his name far better than I am. But anyway, we do have that one United States senator who's badly crippled. I think he lost an arm and a leg, or two arms and legs, something of the sort.
Could be anyway.
But anyway, of course, he is certainly championing the rights of the American veterans today, and we should applaud him. He's also taken some very, very interesting stands on issues that... we should all be concerned about. Anyway, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Arthur Burncloud as we discuss the fate of the veterans. Once, of course, when they're fighting, oh my goodness, we love our fighting men, and we're so indebted to them. But when they come home crippled and their lives shattered, why, then it's going to begin costing money, and suddenly it's a whole different story, and very, very few people really understand the plight of the American servicemen. The veterans today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course our guest is Arthur Bernclau, where we're talking about the plight of the American veterans, the disabled, those who cannot work, those who are ill, as a direct result of their service, and many times they'll come up with, oh, that was pre-existing problems, or, you know, they'll give them a category, anything to avoid putting the money out, because the people who work for the Veterans Administration get a bonus for denying care to our veterans. You pick up the story there, Arthur.
Okay. We've got, I've got two organizations that we're working very closely with, VetNet and the Vietnam Veterans, Vietnam Combat Veterans Limited. Both main offices are in Texas. I've been working very closely with them. And we're trying to get some health care issues taken care of here. For instance, civilianization. You may have heard about this, civilianization of military medical positions. Now, Senate Bill S-3001 would repeal the existing ban on outsourcing of military federal civilian positions to contractors alike, allowing ex-VA Secretary Anthony Principi, the current VA Secretary James Peake, who came out of the same QTC corporation, their civilian employers, QTC and others, to actually rape the Department of Defense's health care budgets, as they have since 1998 under Principi's tutelage. They've been raping the VA's compensation and pension medical examination budget now since 1998. And House Rule 56, H.R. 5658, would sustain the existing ban and add back 1,473 medical positions that were done away with due to these people nitpicking and saving the VA money. Do not allow Principi and company via the VA to exercise the Dole Shalala Commission's recommended single medical examination of Department of Defense, soon to be separated, active duty personnel. In other words, the military would decide the pension. That's what they have been doing. The military has been deciding the pension, but now the Dole Shalala Commission wants everything done by the VA under Principi's tutelage. In other words, they are supporting Principi, Dole Shalala, with that single physical examination. They want to do away with the military doing the physical examination and turn it all over to the VA, which means QTC,
Principi's Corporation. Hold that thought, Arthur. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Arthur Bernclau, Veterans for Constitutional Law. And Arthur, before we go on, I want you to get your website out. I want you to get your telephone number. So if there are veterans listening to this program, they will know how to get in touch with you and how to get help from somebody who really wants to help the veterans rather than of the regular mainline veterans organizations, which are all certainly receiving money and benefits from the Veterans Administration. And therefore, they cannot represent the veterans. No man can serve two masters. So, who'd like to get the information out on your organization and your program?
Okay, I'm Arthur Bernclau. I'm Executive Director of Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited. And we help veterans try to win their cases and try to get their benefits that are being denied to them by people in government who have an agenda to deny. And the best way to contact me, if you're going to do it by computer, our website is vfcll.com. V as in victory, L-C, sorry, vfcll.com. And my own email, if you're going to email me personally, it's Bernclau, which is B-E-R-N-K-L-A-U, at OPT, that's same as Oscar Peter Thomas, online.net. I'll repeat that. It's Bernclau, B-E-R-N-K-L-A-U, all lowercase letters, at OPT, online.net. Now, the best way, if you're going to call me by telephone, You can call anytime you want, day or night. I'm usually here. And the telephone number is 631-474-4268. 631-474-4261. I'm sorry. 631-474-4261. And for those who want to write, or anyone who may want to donate anything to our organization, nobody here in our organization gets paid any more than $1 a year. We're all volunteers. The address is Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited at 112, that's 112 Jefferson Avenue in Port Jefferson, New York, 11777. That's Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited. LTD is acceptable. 112 Jefferson Avenue, Port Jefferson, New York, 11777. And, you know, if you can't reach me for any reason during the day, you can call late at night. I'm here, and we're accepting all calls coming in. So please call us, and we'd like to talk. And especially if you're having a problem with the VA, with the Department of Defense, with any of these fakers in government, we'll try to see if we can help you.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate all you're doing to try to help our veterans. Now, is there any other major issue you'd like to talk about tonight, Arthur?
Oh, yeah. What I mentioned before, House H.R. 5658, about the Dole Shalala Commission, this has just passed. They passed it in May. The Senate Armed Forces Service Committee approved S-3001 also in May, but they're waiting for the full Senate action. It's still pending. And
now, what do these pieces of legislation actually cover?
Okay, the legislation covers the shenanigans that Mr. Principi has been pulling with his company QTC, and he's now got the full cooperation of James Peake. If you remember when they made this man the head of the VA, I made a comment which upset a lot of people in Washington, and I said replacing Secretary of the VA Nicholson with James Peake is tantamount to replacing Lucky Luciano with Al Capone. It seemed to get everybody there in Washington upset. And this applies to all the things that what they're trying to do with the single physical by the VA and not allowing the military, if somebody is injured, to pay him his retirement. And this got passed the Senate, got passed the House, the committee. Now it's got to be voted on by the full Senate and the full House. And obtaining a merely superficial perception of the disparities between the Senate and House positions on this matter, it does require some close examination and cross-referencing and analysis of several seemingly unrelated items, including but not limited to the recommendations of a single exam process for DOD personnel by the VA. This we should not let them do. And a pilot project to test the concept by the Congressional Commission on Military Service Members and Veterans Transition Assistance. Now, 1996 to 99, of which Principi was the chairman over there at the VA, a progressive since the late 90s, the depletion of both the Department of Defense and the VA's qualified medical personnel. They cut a lot of qualified medical personnel off because basically the physical evaluations that QTC was doing was being done by the clerks at QTC, and previously they were done by MDs, but this time, through QTC, they're done by the clerks who turn this over to somebody on their medical staff who has never seen nor examined the veterans. And this is what we're trying to stop, but this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to push this whole thing over to the VA from the Department of Defense, and the Department of Defense will get out and run like thieves. The VA will handle the whole thing. And that's what the Dole-Shalala Commission was all about. It's another government fraud.
Now, is this the Shalala? Is this the Donna Shalala of the Clinton administration, or is this a different Shalala?
No, that's the same one, one and the same. And we call it the personnel involved with medical physical examinations, in effect, stacking the deck so VA and DOD would be essentially forced to seek outside help with meeting their medical physical examination required. And who is going to be the outside help? Why, QTC, of course.
And now, is this Elizabeth Dole, Bob Dole's wife?
You bet.
Okay, so basically it's more of the same. There's a little clique of people, ladies and gentlemen, who really run the government here. Bob Dole's retired, but his wife is in there and carrying out the same sort of corrupt policies that Bob Dole did. And then, of course, Donna Shalala, you remember her? Why, she was, of course, the, I think, Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare during the Clinton administration, that she lost her job after making some very, very offensive sexual remarks and even Bill Clinton felt that he had to get rid of her. And yet here she is back again, I'm sure, on another government commission doing the same sort of corrupt things. But when we realize that probably not more than a few hundred people, they just play musical chairs, they move them from one position in government to another, into an administrative position, perhaps then the position of being governor of a state and then being a secretary of commerce, things of this sort. Understand there's only a small number of people. They just happen to run our government and be totally unresponsive to the voters. But they've got to give us the idea that we can change this at any time, and we're going to get an opportunity to go to the polls in November to vote for the candidates of their choice. And whichever one wins, why our candidate... it'll be their candidate, you can be sure. So go ahead.
Well, you see, under this contract, and it's a contract between QTC and the VA, it was actually quadrupled by Mr. Principi and to pay $495 instead of the $89. They actually quadrupled the contract at a tune of $1.2 billion, and we call it meteoric expansion and legally dubious reissuance of that contract from its rather modest beginnings in March of 1998, then it jumped to $18 million a year, then it jumped to $1.2 billion, while Mr. Principi was bouncing back and forth between top management positions in the VA and chairmanship of QTC. Now, the employment histories of Mr. Principi's longtime cohorts, Timothy A. McLean and William W. McLemore, and their influence on VA activities that greatly enhanced QTC's and Principi's income. Now, the GAO, Government Accountability Office, report number GAO-05-64, titled Efforts to Coordinate a Single Physical Exam Process for Service Members Leaving the Military, which was released on November 12, 2004, the Dole-Shalala Commission's 2007 recommendations for a pilot project to test the conduct of single-exam medical physical examinations of DODs, soon-to-be-separated active-duty personnel by the VA, which allowed for conducting the examinations at DOD, VA, or other facilities, performing the examinations by VA only, and other qualified personnel. They say qualified personnel, but it's being done by the clerks at QTC. And having access to the DOD's Department of Defense members' medical records, and with the other facilities and personnel being selected by the VA, the Dole-Shalala pilot program's essential duplication with high public visibility of the virtually unnoticed pilot program. They really try to sneak this in. Recommended by Principi's Congressional Commission on Military Service Members and Veterans Transition Assistance, and evaluated in the Government Accounting Office report on GAO-05-64, VetNet, which is another veterans organization that we work closely with, has researched and compiled extensive documentation on all of the above, and to a lesser degree, VetNet has cross-referenced and analyzed many of the interrelationships disclosed in that research. VetNet contends that more extensive and more politically, legally astute research and analysis is warranted and recommends conduction of the same by some entity having appropriate oversight and subpoena powers. Now, we're suggesting that the Government Accountability Office, who condemns the VA every single year, we're suggesting they take over the running of the VA and fire all these bureaucrat bums that they have over there. And let's get a little integrity in the way veterans are being treated, because we're certainly not getting integrity out of our government now in the way veterans are being treated.
Well, you know, the real tragedy is, of course, that the treatment of these veterans of the Second Gulf War is going to be extremely costly. In fact, Joseph Stiglitz is an economist, Nobel Prize-winning economist, formerly the chief economic advisor to the President of the United States, has worked for both the World Bank, I believe the World Bank, and certainly has written a number of books, but he recently wrote a book called The $3 Trillion War, saying that the expense, not only the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, but of taking care of these veterans in the years that lie ahead, the men who will be permanently crippled and permanently disabled mentally and physically, was going to come to something like $3 trillion. Well, the government doesn't have an extra $3 trillion. We're already, you know, according to David Walker of the GAO, basically $50 to $60 trillion. We don't have an additional $3 trillion. We don't have $50 to $60 trillion to pay off the Medicare, Medicare drug bills that we're already committed to. So, I mean, obviously the only solution is we just will not give the veterans the care. But if they're going to get the care they need, it's going to be expensive. I think that they should get it, and I know you do as well. Now, we need to let the American people understand the terrible situation that we've allowed to arise by sending idealistic young men overseas to fight, not, of course, to bring freedom to the Iraqi people, because they wanted to get us out of there, not to bring freedom to the Afghan people, because they want us to leave.
Exactly.
But, of course, to impose our will, to maintain our empire, and, of course, to be able to build, of course, certainly an oil pipeline through Afghanistan down to the Indian Ocean. This is what it's really all about. We can't tell the American people that. And so we've got to let them believe that we're fighting for democracy, we're fighting for freedom, and more young men will be crippled for life.
Well, Dr. Stan, we're making a few changes here with our organization, noting our courts are tainted. Our courts are actually tainted with some of the decisions they're coming out with. We're trying to reestablish our connections with the militia groups. We're not trying to start a revolution, but we're trying to reestablish our connections with the militia groups. And not too many years ago, the American people lost its state civil defense, and it was replaced with FEMA. And the old civil defense was run by the states and counties, and there was in every county a place to go in case of a nuclear attack, where there were drills on what people could do to protect themselves. There were sanitary supplies, there were some types of nourishment in each shelter, and the people themselves were involved. And now you have FEMA. When it was formed, the people were deserted to fend for themselves. There is no community training, only for police and for federal agencies. Now this tells me government has no concern for the safety of we the people. No gas masks or anything for protection. FEMA only shows up after the tragedy happens. Now, folks, you and the members of your families are on your own. As the head of the house, it's on your shoulders, and nobody else is going to be responsible for any of you. And I've never figured out why the states, let this tragedy happen to its people. Another thing I find disgusting is the attitude of the people toward people that are willing to teach them survival. The majority of these men and women are former military and civil servants. These people are no different than you or your neighbor. Your neighbor might even be one of them, and there's no doubt about it. You're one of them. Also, you just won't admit it. The only civil defense left for the people of the United States is the militia. And now you have a choice. Believe the lies of a few people in Washington, D.C. about the militia, or wake up and put your family first, because you are the militia. Now, I'm in the militia because every constitution says so. If government agencies or local police want to live their lives with a lie, let them. But my family comes first. Government-elected bureaucrats are not going to have 1 ounce of worry about any of us, and I call upon blacks, whites, Indians, Spanish, Mexicans, Asians, or anyone else that's an American to join in our own civil defense, and it's time to revitalize the militias of the states. And you should get this through your head that militias are not the bad guys and girls. I can't say the same thing about the people we elect in Washington. Just look at the sham hearings on impeachment. What a joke. Why are Democrats blatantly defending Bush? I think they already know there's going to be no election and that martial law might be on the way. And there's no way that Congress can stop them. There's not going to be an impeachment. That's a pipe dream. I don't know what their thinking is, but mine says something is on the way, and I have to do what I have to do to protect my loved ones. And what's sad, Dr. Stan, all these elected officials know what the Constitution says about the militias and who the militia.
We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program with Arthur Byrne Clough. All right, Arthur, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, I'll just about get it done here. You know, what's sad is all the elected officials know what the Constitution says about the militias and who is the militia, and by going against the Constitution and lying to we Americans just proves they fear the militias and they don't want anyone to hold them accountable. Their actions alone should prove it to you. They seem to be in a different world other than America. And I urge all of you, come to grips with reality. Don't let your fear of the militias cause you to be left out on your own. The government has lied to you, not government per se, but a few elected officials. And there's two ways the government can defeat its people into submission. That is by eliminating food and weapons, and I see this starting to take place now.
Well, I share your concern. I think it's with people who value the freedom are going to have to take steps. But I think the first and most important thing is to get the majority of the people on our side. And the majority of the people know something's wrong, but they can't connect the dots. They don't understand the various organizations and forces that are out there that have a different loyalty, whose loyalty is not to the United States, is not to our veterans, is not to the Constitution, but to this other force, this force that is driving us towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, and, of course, the New World Leader. And, of course, until we begin to understand the spiritual forces that energize this movement, nothing's going to change. Well, Arthur, I certainly appreciate what you have to say. Once again, let's get your telephone number and your website out there.
Yeah, John Fitzgerald Kennedy said this, "Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable." That's Kennedy, and Thomas Jefferson said, "I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and is necessary in the political world as storms in the physical." And that was Thomas Jefferson. And for those who want to contact us, my phone lines are always open, and I'll always talk to you, and I might come up with some solutions to your problems. And I'm Arthur Byrne Clough. I'm Executive Director of Veterans for Constitutional Law. And our telephone number is 631-474-4261. That's 631-474-4261. And our address is 112 Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited, 112 Jefferson Avenue, Port Jefferson, New York, 11777. Again, Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited, 112 Jefferson Avenue, Port Jefferson, New York, 11777. And those of you who may be despairing about, you know, the way you're being treated by the Veterans Administration, give us a shot at them.
We're out of time, Arthur. Good night. God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, and God bless you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope that you have enjoyed our program with Arthur Byrne Clough, and certainly he's there to represent the veterans and the people who work with him. They're concerned, and they're not getting, of course, bribed by the government agencies to keep quiet as literally billions of dollars are being funded that should go away to the veterans into the pockets of some of the Veterans Administration employees. Well, to understand really what's going on in the world today, you really need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, you should. And then, of course, you could get our DVD on the subject of the video. We even have a Brotherhood of Darkness special. But over and above that, of course, we have our more recent talks, the forbidden secret, because there is a secret that's been around for 5,000 years, and we're going to tell you what that secret is. And, of course, there's a syllabus that goes with that that explains to you who the angel is that rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. Who is the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm? That was a phrase that was used twice in the President Bush's first inaugural address back in the year 2001. Or President Bush was talking about when he said that when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What's this new order of the ages that our founders were acting on that's meant to be fulfilled? And what's that have to do with today? Well, you need to hear my talk, The Forbidden Secret. And then, of course, you need to see the DVD, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Mystery of Our Nations, of the Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. Because, of course, there you'll hear a high-ranking Mason saying, you know, we never would have talked about these things 50 years ago. We would have been afraid to. And yet today, they're bringing this all out, right out in the open. And, of course, Rhonda Byrne's DVD and The Secret, her book The Secret, sold millions and millions and millions and millions of copies. And it tells of The Secret. But let me warn you, ladies and gentlemen, you do not want to access it. You want to understand The Secret, and understand it should be avoided like the plague. So, certainly, our talk on Forbidden Secret, or on the secret knowledge, and then, of course, our talk on the plan, please state with the syllabus that goes with that, and actually contains some of the literature that actually has come from the people on the other side, the people who worship the other God. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope some of you out there will join the Radio Liberty family and support us and help us as we try to maintain our 60 outlets every single week. And we are reaching more people with the truth than have ever been reached before. Because we have an understanding. We've been at this for over 45 years, studying and analyzing. And finally, of course, it all comes together. If you haven't seen Constance Cumby's excellent DVD, it's entitled The Emergence, or the four-tape set with Constance Cumby, who began writing about the world occult movement back in 1980. We have an excellent DVD with Chris Pinto, who produced the video, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. You need to get both of those DVDs and watch them. You need to get Pastor Joe Schimmel's DVDs. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. I promise you, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again if you watch those DVDs. The information is there. We have a 4-tape set on the supernatural. I do want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is going to be holding our annual convention. It'll be the annual seminar on October 26th. We're already getting people signing up for it here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. We hope that you'll be able to come all day long, and we're bringing in Russell Blaylock, who is certainly one of the most outstanding writers we have on health issues. Joanna Michelson will be here. She was a medium. And, of course, her amazing story of the miracles she saw that came from the other side. And then, of course, Sir Patrick Wood will be here talking on finances. And you need to understand what's happening financially. Please pray for America. Pray for America. Pray for revival. If you want to come to our convention, I number 1-800-5-